WNST, Towson, Baltimore. And Baltimore Positive, we are positively into football season, book season, holiday season, reading season, but it's always leadership season around here. Appreciate our friends at Wise Markets for giving us wise conversations. And as I told Don Moeller when I ramped up the Baltimore Positive thing, we would get better guests. We would get smarter guests with things about leadership. This guy's put together another book. He writes things, a longtime journalist, and someone who like remembers when this was just a radio show and not all videoed up and all that. John Eubanks can be followed out on Twitter. He has a new book as, I think leadership becomes where guys our age tend to sort of put things. And I'm an old line hockey guy. So when I hear all of this, John, I figure it's time to have you on and talk book season. And we'll get to Michigan and Harbaugh and football and all of that. But it's always good to have friends on. How you doing, man? How's life?
I'm doing shockingly well, Nestor. I need to match your level of energy. I'm pretty energetic, but man, you got it going on. And by the way, when you say we need to get smarter, better guests, but you got me instead. So next week we'll do better.
Well, here we are. Here we are. And I always ask this question, you know, because I've written a couple of books foolishly. Some of them are still available if you want at them.
Hey, that's a good sign, Nestor.
I've committed that I'm not writing another book just because, like, it's the kind of project that an ADD guy like me goes into a rabbit hole and I become very anti. So it's kind of like the Jack Nicholson Shining thing in my world. So every time
I've been there. Yes.
Right. And I see behind you and you know that it sort of looks like Red Rum. But for you to do a book, give me the genesis of all of this at this point, because I have a lot of author buddies. I had John Eisenberg on last week. And when books happen, it's not just making a book or a publisher. It really is a passion project. And you sort of fell into this leadership passion project around sports. And I love those stories the most.
Well, appreciate that, Nestor. Always good being on your show. Yes, I do recall the radio days way back when. So here you are going big time with your backdrop and all that. So
I fixed my hair and shave for you. I look like Yeti Lee, my wife says. So.
It's all paying off, man. It's all paying off. So yeah, I got here by accident, basically, because as you know, I've written 12 books. Half of them on college football. That's been my main passion, Big Ten football mainly, for you Maryland types and Penn State types out there.
We play Big Ten football in Maryland. We're still waiting. I'm wearing the State Fair shirt, but I'm like,
I'll tell you what you do. You play Big Ten basketball. I know that. There's no question about that. So hats off to the Terps there. But anyway, so I'm writing those books. Wrote a book with John Saunders of ESPN about his life called Playing Hurt. Then I wrote a history book on the Great Halifax Explosion, 1917, which no Americans know about, but basically Boston helped save Halifax. So out of nowhere, my editor asked me for a leadership book and said, well, all I've really got is the experience I had coaching from 2000 to 2004, coaching the Ann Arbor Huron High School River Rats. I'm not making that up. The Harbaugh brothers went to the Ann Arbor Pioneers. That's Bob Seger and Ken Burns, the documentary filmmaker, and Jack Lausma, the astronaut who walked on the moon.
Well, forget all these guys. You said Bob Seger. That stops me. So when I hear Bob, that I'm not impressed by Eminem or Madonna or any of the Harbaughs at this point, believe me, right? We had to ship K-Line out there to fix it at one point. But
Thank you.
But Bob Seger, wow. Okay, so now you get my attention. Some night moves.
But that is Ann Arbor Pioneer High School, the original high school. We're the second high school, Ann Arbor Huron. They're the pioneers. We're the River Rats. You know who we are. We're the second class citizens. So,
see, I was getting into that with Dundalk with my wife, the Owls and the Patriots, and like how the Patapsco people smell different, you know?
Well, in this town, we smell different. How about that? We're the river dwellers, the lowland people, right? The highland people don't get flooded. That's the original people here.
Oh,
so.
Okay. All right. Smart people lived on the hill. I like that.
Exactly. And the poor laborers live on our side. So that's where we are. So anyway.
This is 20 years ago.
20 years ago. In fact, those are the pictures on the wall. You mentioned what was important. And by the way, behind me is my sixth balloon for my kid's sixth birthday. So I guess that was important too. So,
all right. Well, if your kid runs in on the segment, we'll ask the kid about leadership.
Oh, he might. He might very well. So check it out. But anyway, the team was in 2000 was 0-22-3. You've got a sports savvy audience there. You know the zeros where the wins go, of course. It was ranked the worst team in America. And who takes over? Yours truly, who happens to be the worst player in school history. This is not Nestor, false modesty. I still hold the record for 86 games in a Huron uniform, three straight years, dressed for all of them, with the fewest goals, zero. And I played forward also, so you can't beat that record right there. So a coach with no goal.
You were allowed on the team, basically.
I watched a lot of really good hockey is what I did. So
you're part of the world, though. Hockey's really important, right? I mean, you know, when I think about anywhere to the north, we say playing on the hockey team, but it's kind of hard to get on hockey teams, I would think, right?
Well, and I joke about my rotten record, but man, we had 10 little league teams filtering into 2 high school teams. So 10 ninth grade teams goes into 2 high school teams. Just to make the team, you beat out, you know, 50, 60 guys. And I played with guys who played pro hockey. So,
well, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, just being on the team isn't you diminish what that represents, but then now you're coming back. You weren't a great player. You were just a player.
I was a roster player. Yes, exactly. So the point is this, Nestor, they still had better choices than yours truly. And I had never been a head coach before. So here I am, worst player in school history, worst team in America. Yes, that's the combination we're looking for. So what do you do? And the answer is how we turned it around. We went from 0-22-3 in 3 years to 17-4-5, the best record in school history. Number 53 in the nation, we passed 95% of the country's teams in 3 years. And I don't think anyone's done that.
And you didn't recruit anyone.
And not only did I not recruit anybody, and you're not allowed to at a public school.
Mean it doesn't happen.
You know what? Touche.
I live in Baltimore. I've covered basketball here. You know, so
yeah, Dunbar and all the rest, right? Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
Hey, you know about that program? That leadership program.
One hears a few things, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, no, you're dead right about that. In fact, we didn't even have all the best players in the school play for us all the time, travel team players and so on. But I did not cut a single player from that 0-22-3 team. So we had about 20 guys in that bunch, and I didn't cut one of them over the next 2 or 3 years. So many of the same guys who had won 0 games won 17 as seniors. So what do you do? And the answer is the 2 basic solutions, Nestor, and neither one works. The first one is my way or the highway, Vince Lombardi.
Frank Cush.
It's not even fair to say Lombardi. Lombardi actually was a very good listener. Frank Cush was not. Mike Keenan in hockey is not. My way or the highway might get you 2 or 3 years, but they're going to quit on you sooner or later. The other way, of course, they try now in corporations is, you know, casual Fridays and taco Tuesdays and kombucha machines and beanbag chairs and all that. And they like that stuff, but they don't work any harder. So I wanted to do a third way, which I call coaching, basically. You raise the bar, but you do everything you can to help them get over it. You let them lead. And the answer came from my great mentor at Culver Academies, a guy named Al Clark. Got the national record for the most wins, actually, in high school hockey. He said, the first thing you've got to do is make it special to play for Huron. And I cracked, right of the worst team in America. That's pretty special.
Now, hang on a second here. So you take this job. You're writing at the time. You're a journalist, a seeker of truth. You've been around leadership. You've been around Coach K and, like, Bobby Knight probably at that time, right? Like, so – how many books on leadership had you read in 2000 when you take this gig? I started reading leadership. I went to a Tony Robbins firewalk in 1994, and I spent my whole childhood around Gene Ubriaco, Terry Murray, coaches. Barry Trotz is one of my best friends in life, and I met these people early on. Marvin, I've collected these people. That if I went to coach something right now, I would have all of that wisdom, but I don't know that I'd know how to use it, man. You know what I mean?
Well, I was about to find out. I'd read plenty of books, and of course, I'd interviewed through the Detroit News great coaches. Tom Izzo, Bo Schembechler, you name it,
Bowman,
Herb Brooks.
The whole deal, right?
What's that?
Bowman?
Oh, yeah, Scotty Bowman all the time.
Talking to these guys as a reporter, and now you want to take this and put it into action with Jim Schwartz Lions team at a high school, right? Like, literally, right? That's what you did.
No, Nestor, you got it exactly right. That's what we're doing.
I'm trying to get the preface of the book. Okay, I'm going to sit back and listen to the wise conversation, Nestor.
It's all good, man.
I'm trying. You're not just a regular guy at this point. You're a guy trying to take all this wisdom and put it on the ice.
That's the plan, and I don't know
Mike
how many
Mayock's
guys
trying to do in Oakland or Vegas.
Right, exactly. But we'll see how well it works, right?
Very few beat us Monday.
There you go. So we took it over, and I asked Al, what do I do? And he says, the first thing you got to do is make it special to play for Huron. And I make my joke that we're already the worst team in America. That's pretty special. He goes, no. Because the best way to make it special is to make it hard. which was the exact opposite advice that everyone else was telling me. They're saying, kombucha machines and so on. He said, no, look at the Navy SEALs. Look at the Peace Corps. These guys pay nothing. And they take about, 5-10% of those who apply. What attracts them? The mission. You want to sell them. You sell them on the hard. Don't apologize for it being hard. Say, yeah, this can be the hardest working team in the entire state. Who wants in? And I thought, we started working out for 4 months, Nestor, 4 months before the season even started. We had, in the gym and the weight room 3 times a week, every week, 4 months. I thought for sure I'm the worst team in America. I thought, half the guys were going to quit. And not one player quit. At the end of that time, we were a different team. We won 3 games, 7 games the first year, 16 games the second year, and third year we're, like I said, number 4 in the state, number 53 in the nation. So what I did also in that process is at each level, I gave away more and more control to the players. So finally, our third year, we actually had them coaching an actual game, start to finish. I didn't say anything. None of the coaches did the entire night, and they won 6-0. They broke a 2-game losing streak. So the point is that this generation, everyone dumps on, millennials, Generation Z, bull. These guys can do it if you give them a chance to do it.
Well, in the case of like John Harbaugh, and I know you're in Michigan land and know all the Bo Schembechler, all of that stuff. But leadership council, leadership from within, back when I wrote Purple Rain the first time with, Billick, said I had grown ass men around here and I didn't have to make a whole lot of rules. And Shannon Sharp kept the young guys in line on one side, and Sarah Goose and Rob Burnett kept the young guys in line on the other side. And, that is having grownups. I mean, one of the things about Belichick's teams, right? For years, if you talk to any of those players, it was the most grown up play, do your job, right? And all that and all the bluster. But it really does come down to having really good people, and letting and having great people and letting them be great at what they do.
Exactly right. And by the way, you've named, 2 or 3 of my heroes right there. And, Purple Rain, perfect example. We've got grown-ass men around here. These guys passed around a form, actually, before the playoffs, their second year, entirely their doing. And the whole thing was, I am a grown-ass man. And sign it here if you are. These guys are 16 or 17, but they claimed it for themselves. So we had a joke in our team that, and Bill Belichick, the perfect line, as you said, know your job, do your job. We have a joke in our team that those who lead have got a name. They're called sophomores. So all that means is you know your job. You can do your job. That's why you're on the team. It's why you get paid in your job. It's why you're not fired. All right, that's a baseline. As a junior, we expect you to know your job, do your job, know everyone else's job too. And as a senior, we expect you to know your job, do your job, know everybody else's job, and help them do their jobs better. It's not enough for Shannon Sharp to be really good at his job. He's going to be so good at his job, he can help the next guy be good at his job. That's what I wanted, and that's what we got.
That was what Todd Heap was for. John U. Bacon joins us here. You can follow him out on Twitter at John U. Bacon. He has a new book. So the conversation about the book, you've lived this experience. So forget that there's a book. There was a whole thing that happened in your life that meant a lot to you. You put pictures on the wall, and then you go back to writing other books about leadership and talking to coaches and rah, 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 and Maize and Blue and all that stuff, right? So what about this and here and now and resurrecting this special thing in your life?
Partly dumb luck. I always thought there was a great story here, but I didn't know how to write about it because I was their coach. I was not a journalist. You can't, get all their secrets and all their personal stuff and then turn around and say, oh, surprise, I'm a journalist after all. When Buzz Bissinger goes to Odessa, Texas to write Friday Night Lights, everyone knows he's a journalist. He's not a coach. So how do you write this? So in 2019, I'm on the book tour for my book Overtime. About Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. And by the way, John Harbaugh has been great to me. And Jack Harbaugh is the best. And Jim Harbaugh has been very good to me, too. But anyway.
Nobody tells better stories about Jim Harbaugh than John Harbaugh. And I
haven't
spent any time with Jimmy. Since Jimmy went real famous, I mean, not just like playing in championship games and being the right Bears guy. I mean, when he was Captain Comeback, he came here. So I knew him first. He was my Harbaugh entry drug, him at the end of his career trying to hang on and throw the ball 15 yards, right? But then he went to San Diego and he would call in and do the show. Then he gets the gig, Stanforded up. And I haven't seen Jim since he and John, play day. The last time I saw Jim, I swear to God, was on Pratt Street in Baltimore when John and Jim had their their preseason like practice together when he flew the 49ers out. And I was going down the street. He literally was walking on the street, and I honked the horn and I said hello, and he came over and fist bumped me, gave my wife a hug through the car, and I drove off to Little Italy. It's the last time I saw Jim Harbaugh. So he's like famous to me in a really fun way, to watch the way Ann Arbor and all of that sort of rallies around him, and then watch his brother scuffle here to try to win football games every week.
it's fun to watch, to say the least. And you know, you said earlier, by the way, Jack Harbaugh is the best storyteller of the batch. Jack is amazing. I consider him a friend and a mentor. He's just an amazing guy. But
I once attended a Milwaukee Brewers game with Jack Harbaugh in a Baltimore Ravens parka, sitting with women who badmouthed Jim because they were Wisconsin fans for six innings before they figured out who Jack was. And then Jack let them know, and they turned as white as the logo in my shirt. Jack's dirty, man. Jack's filthy.
I suspect Jack ate that one up.
Oh, it was so good.
As he said to me at some point, he said, "I determined early on I would never live scared." And there's your proof. So,
oh, man. Yeah, so. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Nobody. We use that around the house all the time. So anyway, you're Mr. Michigan, and now give me the book thing. So it's in 2019, and you're being Mr. Michigan.
Yeah, I'm on a book tour. I'm out in New York. My previous editor, Rick Wolf, we edited Bo's Lasting Lessons together. He did Jack Welch's From the Gut, the blockbuster from the GE CEO.
The legend. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, he's done about 60 bestsellers, business bestsellers. He goes, "What do you got?" So I said, "I got this." And I said, "But I don't know how to tell the story." He goes, "It's a leadership story. Once you do that, you have to get everyone's, you know, personal private lives." I got into what I could based on their permission. But he said, "Just tell the story as a leadership point of view." It was a ton of fun to write it. It was hopefully a ton of fun to read it. Dan Shaughnessy, you know him well, from the Boston Globe, came out 2 weeks ago and said, "This book is where Ted Lasso meets the Mighty Ducks." And I said, "Yes, that's it." So there you go. There it is.
You know, I haven't seen Ted Lasso yet, John. So the book is Let Them Lead, Unexpected Lessons in Leadership from America's Worst High School Hockey Team. And you say that with incredible pride. TED Talk, dude, they're doing TED Talks. Like, that's, you know, I love when I have TED Talk vets on the show because, you know, I aspire to be wise one day, so, you know, hence the wise conversation. So give me a little TED Talk background on this, because and maybe how Ted Lasso does play into this, because if Shaughnessy, you know, who led with all the Babe Ruth and all that, and Shaughnessy got Baltimore roots too, you know, he and I are alums to the Baltimore writing scene.
Oh, yeah.
And all that that represents, the Ted Lasso thing has caught on. I haven't watched it yet. I'm sort of saving it, like Hemingway books, for later in life when I'm like Van Gogh and broke and living somewhere and just sitting somewhere and need to be entertained. I know Ted Lasso is going to be great. I'm letting it play out and hearing all the noise around it. I haven't seen The Wire yet, John, and the guy died 2 weeks ago and people are crushing me in Baltimore. So I'm saving things. Make a case for me on the Ted Lasso thing here, man.
It's delightful and totally unexpected. It's sincere and authentic. You think it's going to be too corny, but then you realize the guy means it. It's a football coach from Wichita who becomes a soccer coach in the UK. He's supposed to fail, and he loves his players, doesn't know a damn thing about soccer, but he starts getting to them personally, and that's what starts to work. So that was kind of my approach, basically. He's like, "Look, you know, we knew our X's and O's, but we can't X and O them to death. We're the worst team in America. So we had two rules only: work hard, support your teammates, and that's it." And I said, "If we do those two things, then I'm happy every day, every night. I don't care. If we don't do those two things, I'm not happy, even if we win."
Where'd you get that? What coach did you steal that from in 2000? Because you were younger then. You're 20 years younger. You're trying to figure this out. Who are you stealing from at that point in your life?
Oh, and you're dead right. I stole that.
Borrowed.
Your antenna are working great. So I'm walking out of the rink in the spring of 2000. This is Michigan's old rink, Yost Arena, built in 1923. Great old barn. I play with the former Michigan players on Tuesday night. So I got better, obviously, but they're still a lot better than I am. So hanging out for dear life. These guys played pro hockey and whatnot for the Capitals, some of them.
Did I know on him? Kelly Miller? Who are they? Come on.
Oh, Matt Herr, you knew. Dave Harlock, Dave Shand. Might have been Might not have been household names around there, but they all earned their stripes.
I had a stick from Dave Shan, so there. How about that?
Yeah, well, he and I were radio co-hosts for a while, so I'll tell Dave about the stick.
Absolutely.
So, there you go. We call him the caveman lawyer now because he's hockey player turned lawyer. That's a caveman lawyer right there.
Hey, man, hockey town. I remember all the signs.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff.
I made my way to the Joe.
There you go. At the Joe. Well, nice drop there. So I'm walking out with my bag and my sticks out of the old barn and with Rob Palmer, who was the captain in 77. They were one goal away from a national title, overtime versus Wisconsin. Played 7 or 8 years in the NHL. LA Kings mainly came back at his NBA, skating with us. And he told me on the way out, he said, "My dad told me as a kid in Toronto, all you have to do is work hard and support your teammates. Do that and the rest takes care of itself." And I thought, that is simple. It's not easy, but it's brilliant. I said, that's going to be our philosophy from now on. And that's the only two rules we ever had. And I said, from that, everything else follows. So we won our first three games our first year. It equaled our win total the two previous years combined. So that's where we were. Then we got to play state power Trenton. Andy Green, who still plays for the Islanders, was their captain the year before I started coaching. This is how good they are. 14 state titles. They crush us 13-2. And I'll remind you, Nestor, this is hockey, not football. Those goals come in increments of one, baby. So each time they score a goal, there's a biscuit in your basket. The crowd goes nuts. The band plays. We all knew their fight song by the end of that night. So it was pretty brutal. The guys are throwing their sticks. They're throwing their gloves. They're pretty upset. I say, "Oh, we're no better than last year." I said, "Hey, stop. What are the first two rules of hearing hockey?" They yell them back. "Work hard. Support your teammates." I said, "That's right. Did you do that tonight?" And they said, "Actually, we did. We didn't give up. We kept going. We didn't point the fingers." I said, "Great. Then I'm thrilled. That's heroic to do it when you're getting your butt kicked 13-2. We keep doing that. We're going to be fine. We're going to play those bastards again." We play them again a year and a half later in the regional final. We've got 16 wins now, almost second best in school history. We lose 3-2, but we outshoot them in their rink, and their fans gave our players a standing ovation. So that's how fast we turned it around with only two philosophies: work hard, support your teammates.
John Eubakin telling a story. You know, you're sucking me in. And let me just say this, because I'm a hockey guy, right? So I'm the guy from Baltimore you don't know about that covered the Skipjacks in 1984 with Gene Ubriaco.
The Skipjacks.
When
I know
was
about
15
the
years old. I was asking Mike Keenan questions when I was 15 years old when he was the Hershey Bears coach, okay?
Whoa.
So, like, Ron Hextall gave up, like, 9 to a team that Ubriaco cobbled together, an independent team in 1987 led by a 38-year-old Murray Bannerman in the pipes, and beat Ron Hextall on the way up. And I had to go into the Baltimore Civic Center, now the Royal Farms Arena, where Guns N' Roses will be performing 2 weeks. And Hextall's shaving, looking at me in the mirror, and a towel wrapped around him. And I got my reporter's notebook and, you know, "What do you want to know?" And he's looking at me in the mirror. So I love hockey. And I've always loved the accountability of hockey because the coaches were father figures. Terry Murray was a father to these 20 young men when I covered the Skipjacks, as was Dougie McLean. Dougie McLean is a master PhD psychologist in every way. I still love having him come on and beat me up from time to time. And Trotz was a Western League scout in 1987. He used to sit in the press box with me and ask me about places around town, then became the coach, and now he's Barry Trotz. So the hockey thing for me, still one of the greatest assignments of my life, was covering hockey then, not now. I did the modern era. I held the Stanley Cup, did all that, the way media is and knowing players. But I remember going in those minor league, you know, locker rooms where culture was an issue, Russian players were coming in, Czech players were rolling in, and coaches had to figure out how to make guys work together. And hockey was the one place as a reporter, still to this day. And then I went on to baseball, which was a whole different ego thing and all of that. Hockey, and I remember Gene Ubriaco saying to me, "It's just so hard. It's just so hard to play hockey." There's my best Sioux. He's from the Sioux. You know what I'm saying? The Sioux.
From the Sioux, baby.
From the Sioux. You know.
Ballmer, as we say. The Sioux is where Canada meets the U.S. at the very tip of Michigan, by the way. So.
Well, make sure you eat at the Ubriaco's when you're there. It's a delightful Italian meals that they serve there.
Nestor, man, you're winning me over here, pal.
Well, I mean, the hockey thing is – there's some, you know, one of my best friend's kids played goal, and it's just so hard to be a hockey player. And I have such respect for, I met my wife at a hockey game, at a Manchester Monarchs hockey game in the AHL with Bruce Boudreau, who played on the first team in 84. So I'm a hockey guy through and through. And I think hockey probably represents the kind of story you want to tell more than anything in the modern space in regard to teamwork.
In that sense, you're right. I mean, look, there are great baseball stories out there, Lord knows, football stories and so on. But hockey's a fluid game, and one guy can't do it. Look, LeBron James and four of us will probably beat most teams. That's not true in hockey. When Gretzky leaves the Oilers, he never won another cup. I can't think of any other team sport, that is so reliant on the team. You got to play three lines minimum to play the game, basically. So everybody's involved. Nobody can be the one guy to go to. You rely on your teammates. And as you said, there's accountability to your teammates. So in that sense, hockey is the perfect metaphor for this. But as we make clear, it's a business book. It's not a hockey book. You don't know anything about hockey to follow this story.
You get invited to the TED Talk. Give me the TED Talk thing and sure. The involvement in that, because that has some cachet with me for sure. And maybe I love watching those. My kid loves watching those, and I think there's some wisdom built in that we could all use in a lot of ways. It's a gateway.
Well, I appreciate that. You already flashed in my website, letthemleadbybacon.com. That's letthemleadbybacon.com. You can find out more about the book on there. The TED Talk is on there. It's from 2014. So my editor saw that. There you go. Right up at the top there.
Motivating the next generation.
There it is. 2014. It's when my editor saw that TED Talk. He said, hey, you got a book in this. And that's when I started thinking seriously about a book. Also at the top, you'll see we got a podcast. Came out last week. We already got about 1,000 clicks. That's a good start for a podcast. That's what I hear. So,
all of these people, have you chronicled where these young people are at this point?
Oh, I see them every summer at my backyard barbecue, man. We've been doing that for 17 years, Nestor. It's been pretty cool. So we started in 04 when they graduated, basically. Now they come back. They're in the mid-30s, pushing 40. They're older than I was when I coached them. And I go to their weddings now, and they come to my barbecue. Their kids are older than my six-year-old kid right here. So they come in, Nestor. They give me parenting advice, and I have to take it. So, hey, Teddy, come in here for a second.
All right. So John, who's the greatest coach you ever met and you've talked to professionally you would steal something from?
Greatest coach I ever met? Good question.
What's this one's name? Hold on here.
What's your name, Teddy?
Teddy.
There you go.
What's
How
going
old are
on?
You?
Almost six.
What's your favorite sport?
Hockey.
There we go.
Who's your favorite team?
And baseball. What's your favorite team?
Detroit Tigers and Red Wings.
There we go.
But not the Lions?
We're fine. I raised him right, Nestor.
A Michigan State, right? Big Michigan State fan?
Sure he is.
Sparty? No.
We're ecumenical about that one. So wherever he wants to go is fine with me. So.
Oh, you're going to be non-denominational across the Big Ten, are you?
I have to be. It's my job, believe it or not.
Well, if he winds up in College Park, you'll get good crab cakes, John.
We've been to – what's the name of that crab cake place, Christy?
Everybody's got a crab cake place. I've been there. Which one is
what's it? What's
it
called? Fadley's.
That's my sponsor and some of my dearest friends in life.
Well, but guess
our
right
friends
then.
At Fadley's. I'm going to be
place
Fadley's.
Is awesome.
I'm going to be at Fadley's on Monday. One of my dearest friends in the world is coming in on Monday, and we have a little football game on Sunday night, and we're doing a little hoot nanny on Monday and having some crab cakes. So how about that?
Been down there. Place is awesome. he's now having a World War One biplane fight.
John, so you know, they do ship them. Brian Billick shipped them to Upper Minnesota last week.
Oh,
they will ship them to Ann Arbor for you. Okay,
her sister lives in Baltimore. We are well aware of this fact, and it's a crab cake unlike any other. It says the Michigander, no less. So there's a proof on that one.
Well,
so,
you will never have a tourist crab cake in my town. Good luck with the book. It's Let Them Lead, Unexpected Lessons in Leadership from America's Worst High School Hockey Team. John U. Bacon, New York Times bestselling author. We're trying to shine the show up here a little bit. Show them the book. Show them something, man.
There you go.
By the way, books still like have pages and paper and they feel nice. And I'm not a Kindle guy at all. I'm so old school, bro. You know?
I'm old school too, but we also got an Audible. The problem is I read it. Sorry about that in advance. But Nestor, man, very impressed by your hockey knowledge and your passion. So, and you also got the idea of this book. It's not a hockey book per se. It's about leadership and what this generation can really do if you let them.
All right. Well, from one Harbaugh lover to another, you know, we're hoping John doesn't go to 0-2. And the struggle is real here in Baltimore this year in the National Football League.
That I realize.
And the struggle's always real in Ann Arbor on the college football Saturdays. So,
hey, look, when they're 10-0, the struggle's real, man. My joke about that, Nestor, you'll appreciate this. Some Michigan fans aren't happy unless they're not happy. A Big Ten title is considered a birthright, and not many of those this century. So hard times are these, but they're going the right direction so far.
Well, you have to feel good about what happened to Ohio State last week.
I'm not allowed to, but I did watch with interest. I'll just say that.
You did go out and watch everyone else celebrate. John Eubanks.
I was aware of that, yes.
Can be found out on Twitter. His book is Let Them Lead. He writes lots and lots of books about lots and lots of things, including Harbaugh's, and you can find them all on the interwebs. You can find me on Friday at Costas with Johnny O, Baltimore County Executive, joining us for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'm coming to Fadley's on Monday. I've got crab cakes like every day. Sunday, I'm at Wise Markets. The Crab Wagon, we're pulling it out with Rob Santoni at 11 a.m. I'll be tailgating or pre-tailgating before the game. It's football season. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.